Good morning. Now, I'm going to hold something up. Front row, you're not allowed to answer the question, okay? I want to see if those further back can answer the question. Does anybody know what I'm holding up? You guys can't answer either. Does anyone in the back two rows know what I'm holding in my hand? An invitation. An invitation to? Oh. That announcement has already been made, ma'am. I'm sorry. We do not double up announcements at Encounter Church. Who said wedding? Hey, congrats. If I had a prize, I'd give you one, but I didn't come prepared. Why did you think this was a wedding invitation? It's pretty. Did anyone else gather that this was a wedding invitation? No, not really. Okay. Well, I received this on Wednesday, but you know, I would have brought the envelope too, but it was wrapped up in enough tape, and you know, I had to basically rip the whole thing up in order to get it open, but in any of it, you know, it's pretty. There's a lot of thought put into it. It looks very nice. And it says, you know, and not only that, but there's an invitation to the reception as well. And we're going to Caversham House. So, yeah, it's very posh. And the wedding itself is taking place at Ross Memorial Church in the city. So this is going to be a very posh event. Well, I wanted to do that before I asked you to turn to the scripture that we're going to be focusing on this morning, because it would give it away. So please turn to Matthew 22. Now, I'm very excited about journeying together through the New Testament, as you may have seen. I speak, you know, to large crowds, and grammar is important. Journeying through the New Testament, I'm very excited that, and hopefully you had seen it, that we're, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be journeying together through the New Testament over 90 days. And because these books, the first five orderly series of narratives, the next 20 letters, the last one, this wonderful revelation that Jesus gives to John, were meant to be read front to back, right? And we find various themes that build and reinforce the truth and love as the Spirit led these brilliant, willing collaborators in the Spirit. And about one quarter of the Gospel of Matthew is devoted to the last week of Jesus' life. And starting in chapter 21, Jesus triumphantly, you know, most of us who have been in church for a while know this, we celebrate it very regularly, enters a Jerusalem with large crowds from outside Jerusalem shouting, "Please save us! Please grant us success, Son of David!" While the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred asking, "Who is this?" And in the next few chapters, there is a curious difference of reaction to Jesus. The blind and the lame come to him, and he healed them. Children shouted, "Please save us. Please grant us success, Son of David." But the chief priests and teachers of the law were indignant. And it launches this dialogue between Jesus and the religious leaders, and explains to his disciples, his future leaders, the grave error of the current religious leaders, and how this would ultimately lead to Jerusalem's destruction. By the way, Jesus weeps over this. In the midst of all this, he tells three parables, and we will focus on the third. And this is the third. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for always speaking to us, about always being truthful with us, being truthful in love with us. Thank you for the privilege of proclaiming your gospel, the good news of your kingdom through your son, Jesus Christ. Please give your speaker the words to say, and please give us all ears to hear what the Spirit has to say through your word this morning. It's in the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Well, what is so special about weddings and wedding banquets? Maybe you don't share this view, but, you know, I do. I think there's something special about weddings and wedding banquets. Why are they such happy, joyful celebrations filled with all the appropriate pomp and circumstance? Well, let's think about this for a minute. A wedding is the start of two people who have chosen each other to build a life together instead of separately because of their mutual affection for each other. That mutual affection leads them to be convinced that their lives will be better together instead of separate. And for the Jew and the Christian, they know that they should exchange vows and tangible symbols to each other. See my ring on my left hand. To one another before the Lord God in order for this union to be joined together by him, blessed and lasting. Traditionally, the parents, caregivers, family of the bride and groom gladly welcome the others. It says here on this wedding invitation, that's very complex. Paul and Ingrid Muir, together with Thomas Marine Schenkel, invite you to the wedding of Greta Wilma Muir to Josiah Thomas Schenkel. The parents of the bride and groom are actually inviting us to the wedding because they are happy. They want to celebrate. They want to provide the pomp and circumstance that is worthy of such a union taking place. They want to celebrate in the form of this ceremonial celebration into their own previously smaller family. And this is Jesus' constant teaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Through his son, our bridegroom, we can know the Father. We participate and bear witness to heaven and earth building a life together instead of separately because of our mutual affection for each other. Do you follow? We become convinced that our lives would be much better together than separate. And as heaven and earth become one, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. Now, in first century Israel, the wedding feast would be held by the groom's family with food, wine, music, and dance, and would go for up to 7 days. Can you imagine? 7-day party! Well, why am I glad that I received this invitation? What makes this special for me, right? Well, for one, I know the father of the groom. I know his desire to see his sons and daughters living a blessed life learning how to sacrificially love as he does, encouraging each one to grow heart, mind, body, and soul. You follow? But some don't know the father of the groom. You know, if I received this invitation from a person that I didn't know, I'd be, wow, somebody went into a lot of effort for that. I have no idea who it is. Well, that's nice. And I would walk away. I would pay it no mind, throw away the nice invitation, and go back to doing what I was doing before. You know, the other reason I really appreciate this invitation is that I know the groom, and I also know the bride. I am more than happy to celebrate them joining their lives together. It is good for them to do so. And also, the parents, the bride and groom inviting us, our whole family, not just me, but, you know, I'm selfish, me, to the wedding, being specifically invited to be a witness. Did you know this? Whenever you're invited to a wedding, it's not just for cake? Took me years to figure this out. Being specifically invited to be a witness to the vows and what the ceremony represents. I agree to support this couple in this supernatural endeavor, vowing and asking the Lord to join them together, the two becoming one flesh. Now, worse than ignoring the king's invitation in Jesus' story, some were so offended by the invitation, they took out their anger and contempt for being asked to support such a union for these people, for this occasion, on the king's servants, seizing them, mistreating them, and killing them. And of course, if you know the rest of the story, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, you know that soon after, and oh, by the way, throughout all of Old Testament history, this is exactly what happened. As observed by this tax collector, spirit-inspired to write his account of Jesus' ministry, noticing the children and the blind and the lame coming to Jesus, acknowledging Jesus, being healed by Jesus. And what a stark contrast that was to the chief priests and the religious leaders of the time, and how they wanted to shut Jesus up to the point of hanging him on a cross. So the king sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Then he sent his servants into the streets and gathered all the people they could find. Then it says at the bottom, Then it says at the bottom of this invitation, boy, this really is a complicated thing. Let's see where it is. It says, dress code formal. Now, what would happen if I would come to the wedding and the wedding banquet in a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops? What do you think would happen? First of all, my wife wouldn't let me out the door. Second of all, it just, it wouldn't be proper. You know, in ancient times, the king would provide his guests wedding clothes so everyone knew who was an honored guest of the king. Here's what we should observe about the wedding clothes in Jesus' story. First of all, he gives the clothes freely. You know, he invited everyone to come. He sent his servants out to the streets. He invited everybody to come on in. Not every one of those people could afford wedding clothes, right? So the king gave all who was invited wedding clothes. That's a gift of grace. A gift of grace. That's redundant. That's grace. And you know, to wear those clothes, or to follow the instructions for dress formal, is to show respect for the one who's invited me. Right? This is a good, joyful occasion. I need to dress up. I need to look good. As good as I can get. It also shows respect for the son of the king. to support his endeavor and her endeavor to join their lives together and to show respect for the occasion and the union beginning. You follow? So what does Jesus mean by wedding clothes? Well, perhaps he refers to Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Paul makes a few comments like this, one of the reasons I'm so excited to go through the New Testament in 90 days. You'll see themes and you'll see certain patterns all over the place that you would not be able to get if, you know, you pick a verse here, pick a verse there, right? Reading front to back and all sorts of things just spring open, right? But you got to have the patience to do it, and you got to do it more than once. Anyway, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to take off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And Paul writes to the Colossians church, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And those aren't exhaustive by any means. And in the revelation given to John, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Why did the person come to the king's wedding feast for his son without wedding clothes? Well, he was given the clothes. They fit. And even if they didn't fit, don't you think if the guest made a good faith effort to put on those clothes and they didn't fit, that the king would do whatever it took to have those clothes fit? Let me share with you something that was a revelation for me that the Spirit guided me into. You know, for a long time I used to think, you know, about this whole thing about grace and works, right? Well, are we saved by what we do or not? And you Christians are always going on about what we do, yada, yada. And, you know, if you read through those lens, you can easily fall into this trap. But here's one thing I realized, and I hope that you hear this. The Lord wants you to be righteous. The Lord wants you to be good like him. Wants you to be loving like him. Wants you to be integrous like him. Don't you think he will do everything he can to make sure that you do so? He is not the one who gives us gifts or says you need to do this, this, and this, and then steps back and says, okay, figure it out. He says you need to do this, this, and this. And if you struggle with this, like a good father that he is, he will walk with us every step of the way. That's grace. That's mercy. That's salvation. But the person disregarded the clothes and therefore disregarded the occasion, the bridegroom, and the bridegroom's father. He didn't care about the king. He didn't care about the king's family. He didn't care about the king's household. He just wanted the king's feast. He was a wedding crasher. He just came in, took advantage of the invitation, and just wanted a good nosh. This is why to worship the Lord our God and serve him only is the first commandment, because whatever we do not worship will be used in service to whatever we do worship. And we all worship something or someone. We will even attempt to use the Lord our God to gain whatever we do truly desire. Do you follow? We must come to understand the kingdom of heaven is truly at hand, right here, right now. The curtain was torn in two. We can truly come to know the Father of the groom. We can truly come to appreciate how much the groom loves us and how much we truly know and love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Right now, we can pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We can start to experience transformation through his Spirit so that his will can be done in us. I can't change the world. He can, but I can allow him to change me. Do you follow? And if you wait, first of all, I don't know, huh? But if you think that Jesus came just so we can sip Mai Tais after we die, you got another thing coming. Salvation is so much more than that. Salvation is so much bigger than that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And because of Christ, we can put off our old self, our old clothes, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We can let go of anger, bitterness, beastly lusts, greed, false pretense, the temptation to manipulate others, and put on the new self, the king's wedding clothes, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what this is all about. Can we become the kind of people who not just say that we love the Lord, but actually do love the Lord? As Dallas Willard, a wise man, once said, we will not always practice what we say we believe, but we will always practice what we believe. You follow? The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He invites you. He invites me. Will you ignore the invitation? Does the invitation offend us and make us angry? Will you use the invitation to try and have a good feed without caring much for the one who invited you or the occasion that is being celebrated? Or will you, with all humble gratitude and justified excitement, put on the wedding clothes he has provided and come to the wedding feast of the Lamb with exuberant joy? Let's pray. Father, our Father who is in heaven, our good, good Father. Father, confessionally, sometimes when we're singing that song, it's almost like we're trying to convince ourselves because we're so swayed to believe that you're not and that we have to go outside of what you say in order to get what we want because we're convinced that outside of you, there's a better way. And this has always been our problem. It's the human problem. But Father, you are a good, good Father. It is who you are. And we are loved by you. It's who we are. Father, help us to remember that. Help us to remember that the main thing is always the main thing is always the main thing. To love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And out of that flows the true understanding of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you so much for not quitting on us. Thank you so much for always, always, always being there, even when we didn't recognize it, for always correcting us when we need it, often. And Lord, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us your Spirit. It's what we celebrate at Pentecost. We celebrate you giving yourself that we might become your children, to live life to the full, beginning now and going through eternity. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes all of these good things possible. We look forward to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And I suspect it's going to last longer than 7. Lord, help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every day. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Lance.